Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. I'm your host, Jordan Rabold. And you hear that? That's a sweet sound of silence. Because there's no co-host. There's no guest. There's nobody else. Just me. Me alone with the microphone. As I've said before, this podcast is like listening to a man unravel over the course of an hour. Are you ready? Yo, I don't think I can maintain that energy for an hour. Holy shit. If I was like that for a whole hour, right now you guys are probably at home being like, yeah, you're kind of like that for an hour, Jordan. You're that insane for an hour. And you know what? Let me just say first off, I do this every week. Thank you so much for listening. I love it. I really appreciate it. And the people who have been sending me some ideas, things they want me to talk about on the podcast, I know I didn't get it to any of them last time. I also know I said I would upload a stand-up clip, but yo, I'm so fucking busy with bullshit that I can't get to it, okay? I'm in the gym trying to get diesel. Then I'm at home writing sketches with my brother. He's verbally battering me for hours at a time and telling me my ideas suck, okay? Imagine, so that's my hours from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Then at 5 p.m., I go to fucking open mics and I have losers tell me I'm not funny. And then I go on the road and that's actually fun. Those actually go well. Except for the fact I'm fucking driving. I'm driving to these places. People must be like, oh, it's really fun to see the country. There's nothing to see, dude. Yo, you ever seen a highway? That's what it looks like. Have you ever been to a place? Every place is like that. Every fucking place is the same as the last place. There's no differences. And also, I'm poor. Do you get that? I'm not rich. Going places when you're poor isn't fun. Go places when you're rich is fun, because you can try restaurants, you can see sights, you can go places. Dude, when you're poor, you're barely paying for the Airbnb. You're looking at an Airbnb. Have you ever been in a stranger's bedroom? That is what it's like, okay? So yeah, going on the road isn't fun. Nothing is fun. What is fun? When people have hobbies, what the fuck is a hobby? How do you just do something casually and poorly? God damn, I don't know how to be. How does someone, if someone's like, oh, I build tables out of wood. And they show you the table and it fucking sucks. And you're like, how do you do that? How do you stand yourself? How do you look yourself in the mirror and just suck at stuff as a hobby and be fine with it? Or just a passing, like someone puts together model cars. So I don't even fucking get it. I don't understand hobbies. I really, everything to me is like work, or the second you start doing it, you're trying to be Pablo Picasso. And if you're not hitting that level, then you're a failure. Okay? I don't get it. I know. I wish I could turn off the give a shit and just hobby it up and have pastimes. And then even when you do kind of have pastimes, I like get that anxiety because I'm not doing something productive. When I start enjoying myself, and then I realize I'm enjoying myself, and I think, oh, you should be doing something productive. I don't know. Does anyone else feel like that? They feel guilt? I wish I had a trust fund. That'd be dope. My buddy's got a trust fund, and he still works, which I appreciate about him. That makes him a good person. It makes him a good person because he's still working. He could not work. Could easily not work, but he's choosing to work. He's got a startup. But then he, like, will bring... he'll sometimes bring up a problem. He'll be like, I can't... He's got celiac disease, which, by the way, is a real thing. I know people like doing this thing with, like, older people. Like, be like, oh, your generation would die if somebody fed you gluten. And you're like, yeah, I know, because it's a real allergy. And the people your age who weren't diagnosed accordingly are dead or near dead or had an awful life, okay? These are real allergies. I don't know why they're all flippant about somebody's health issue. It's a real health issue. But so he's got celiac disease, and he's like, has a problem. He's like, I can't eat in so many places, and then I eat unhealthy because I don't have the time to make food for myself, and it's exhausting. and you're like, you got $50 million. I don't know, maybe use some of that. I hate when rich people, and this isn't about him, but this is about, this is this idea I want to separate from him. But yeah, he just brought up like the food thing. You're like, dude, just pay a chef. Pay someone 40, 50 grand a year to do it for you. God, that sounds great, doesn't it? God damn it. Being poor is fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. There's nothing. You can't even solve any problems. You can't solve any problems because you have no money. If something breaks, you're just fucked. Horrible being poor. Horrible being poor. I can't. I got three roommates. I'm 30. You know what hurts my feelings even more? Is I met with one of my, I think I just skipped a story. I think I was talking about, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? You guys don't care. Let's talk about where I was going here. That's what you're here for. You're for the stream of consciousness. It all doesn't need to be coherent. If I drop a thought and you want to hear more about it, yo, hit me up. I'll revisit it on a next episode, all right? Unless I launch some Patreon and I start putting the finished thoughts on that bitch and just throw out the bullshit on the free one, right? So I can start getting paid for this stuff. Get paid for my ideas. Ah! God, I'm sorry. I'm really, really, really frustrated. But here's what is annoying. I don't know if you guys think I'm smart or stupid. I have no idea. People tell me I'm smart. I guess. For example, did I go to Yale? Yes. Do I think that means anything? Not really. I don't think that means much. I think that, like, I had people around me who put me in successful positions, and now I'm in an unsuccessful position because I'm on my own and I've done everything I can to be unsuccessful, it seems. And everything that comes natural to me, I turn my back on it instead of doing the things that I should do that come incredibly easy. But then I also don't want to be those things, and I think there's some value in that struggle. But then also you're like, fuck struggle, because wouldn't it be easier just do the totally natural things that come so easy to you, and you can just pound through and be successful at. But you're like, no, 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 I want to be this thing. I want to be this thing. Well, that's me. So, but I don't know if people think I'm smart. You certainly don't now. I don't know. But sometimes people tell me it. I don't view myself that way because I've met way smarter people than I have. But I did go to Yale. That means something, I guess. It means something. It means I can at least have the capacity to do work and be consistent. Okay, so that's where I'm at on that. I met with one of my Yale College teammates this week. We went and got coffee together. He was here in New York for only like a few weeks, and it was my last chance to see him. I hadn't seen him yet because I'm a terrible friend. Hey, look at this. More self-loathing. But I'm a terrible friend, so I finally went and saw him and met him outside his work. It was nice of him. He took an hour off from work so we could hang out for a little bit. It was really cool to see him. But there was a point where we're talking about where people on the team are at, and he's like talking about like some of the idiots, and some of the idiots are putting things together. Some of the idiots are like relatively successful. He's like, yeah, dude, like you remember Eric? I'm not using last names because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. But he's like, you remember Eric? Like he wasn't that bright at all. And now look at him. He's at fucking UCLA Med and he's killing it. I'm like, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And he's like, oh man, I'm afraid some of you listen, so I'm going to make up names. He's like, you remember Henry, not a real teammate name, because I'm afraid some of you might be listening. But you remember Henry? Well, he's down in blah, 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 and he works for this consultant place. Dude's making like 300 grand a year. And he goes, and you know what's funny? You're one of the smartest kids on the team. You're one of the smarter kids on the team, and look at you. That doesn't really hurt my feelings. That's more of a joke, but like, yeah. I was one of the smarter kids on the team. Why am I so unsuccessful? You know what I mean? I'm not miserable to be around. I'm a relatively positive person. I'm supportive of my friends. I don't cut everyone down. Why am I doing so goddamn poorly? Does anyone else think like this? Where you look around and you're like, why am I so... I feel like I'm not that awful. and I've seen what other people do, and I don't see them as great talents. Why the fuck am I doing so little with so much? That's it. That's what I say about that, me and my brother, all the time. I say that about us all of the time, where I look at... let's not even talk about me. Let's talk about Brett. Brett is one of the fucking funniest motherfucking people on this goddamn planet. If you ever see Brett do stand-up, nobody's as good as Brett right now at his age. There's not a fucking person in the fucking world who's as funny as Brett at the age of 26 and who's a full hour. This kid has a full hour of hammered out material. And it's all unique. None of it. Nobody else has his jokes. Nobody has even the premises. You could call me a... I'm a hack. I'm shitty. I talk about girlfriends and boyfriends and butt stuff, okay? I'm stupid. I'm a hack. Brett is not like that. Brett's doing only unique premises and then delivering on them with, like, crazy good observations. And yet, for some reason, we're in an apartment in Bushwick. Neither of us has managers. Neither of us has agents. We barely get writing packets. Friends of friends send us writing packets to submit for TV shows to get writing jobs. When meanwhile, we are the only fucking people who have ever shot a thing who are in the stand-up comedy scene. The rest of you haven't shot dick. There's a few of you who've shot one sketch, maybe three sketches. We've shot a full fucking movie worth of sketches on effectively our own with no resources. And yet, here we are, poor, with no following and nothing to show for it. It drives you insane where you're like, well, what the fuck does a person have to do? What does a person have to do to be successful? How are stupider people doing better than I am? And I don't know the answer. Is it just unpleasantness? You could say that maybe about me sometimes. I can be a little unpleasant. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny that if I'm in a sour mood, that I don't maybe take it out on some people a little bit occasionally, or I can't occasionally be cunning. I can't deny that. But outwardly, Brett's not, you know? So that's not fair. I don't really get that, you know? How can one do so little with so much? I have no clue. And how the fuck am I going to follow this topic up with anything else in the world? What could I possibly... I really jumped right in, didn't I? To be frank, I barely planned any. I wrote three topics down, and I'm just... And this is what came out, because I'm just feeling so frustrated with everything. And then you start getting frustrated with your own artistic limitations. And you're like... You watch your set, you listen to your jokes. Here's the thing about jokes. You never want to get to the point where you're like, you are not finding it so funny. But that's what you get to if you do comedy long enough, is you look at all of your jokes and you go, those ones aren't funny. Because they're not. But then you have to, like, chill them, you know, to pay some bills so I can go get fucking... So I can go get, like, a Taco Bell extra value burrito after a show in payment, you know? But meanwhile, here's what's annoying. You just crushed for 45 minutes. I'm not saying I don't have bad sets, but holy shit. And there are people who have gone on the road with me, and they can corroborate that. So, yeah, I can't... What does it take? And then I hear stories about people who are successful and the things they do in their private lives. Like, I heard there's a super successful comedian. I will not say it's all a rumor, but he's very, very successful. And he apparently, and his ex-girlfriend was also famous, and he hit her. And I'm like, why does he even get a shot, you know? And then I hear about another guy who's, like, on the way up, and he... And this club manager I was talking to today, they don't want to book him anymore because if they book him, then all he does is try to have sex with any woman that enters the place. And then now they're not booking as much as a result of it. But you're like, I don't do any of that. And I just put all of that energy into my writing and performing and creating things. And yet, why is he doing better? There's so many examples of that. And you're like, and then you start going, maybe I'm not fucked up enough. Maybe that's the problem, is that I have relatively healthy relationships with most everyone around me. Maybe that's the problem. Is the level of mental health, and that, I don't know. Is that it? Or maybe it's just the long haul, you know? Right now, yeah, let's say it. Right now, identity politics is in. That's what everyone loves so much. Everyone loves hearing about it. Everything is now framed in terms of what someone's background is, what their ethnicity is, what gender they are. And so, you know, and point blank, we're in an art form. And so maybe just the line got longer than it once was. And I get it. People will be like, you're really complaining? Cause yeah, sure, whatever. You know? Also, it's my podcast, so I'll complain and say whatever the fuck I want. You know what I mean? I'll say whatever I want. There's just... How about this one? There's just too many white people. There's too many white men. Let's do that one. There's too many white men. Let's do that. Why won't some of you fucking quit? Okay? I'm not. I'm not quitting. I'm not going anywhere. I'm already making some degree of money, so get the fuck out. Jesus. I should probably edit that part out, you know what I mean? That's not favorable, but hey, you can't deny the reality of the situation that identity politics is in, and people don't love. People do not love it. Oh, man. So much. You know what Zola is, too? A lot of that is just like, I think a lot of it is just from growing up Catholic. I don't know if anyone else is Catholic, but I mean, what an insane, unhealthy mental frame that creates and instills in its patrons, huh? I'm not even like really Catholic anymore, but I'm still like my insides are still Catholic, just guilt ridden. That's what I was talking about earlier with that, like, feeling like you need to be working all the time. That's Catholicism. Just guilt for not having done a thing that you should do, but you don't want to do. That's what Catholicism really instills in you. Just a constant need to be working at something. I mean, you know what? My whole family's like that. Like, my sister, she's a doctor. Full-blown doctor. Is that what you call them? She's a doctor. I'm so tired. She's a doctor. And she was texting us during the World Cup. It just so happened that she had a light week during a light couple weeks during the World Cup, so she was able to enjoy a lot of the games. And it got to the point on the family thread where my mom called my sister out saying, Jill, are you not a doctor anymore? Shouldn't you be working? And Jill's like, hey, back off. So I'm not working that hard this second. Does it really matter? I own a house. I'm preggers with a kid. I've got a husband. Nobody's fired me at this hospital. I think she's like chief resident or something, or my little sister is. I don't know. She's got all these accolades. Frankly, being a doctor takes too long, and I can't keep track of what level of doctoring you're at. I can't do it. There's med school, and there's like an internship after that, and then there's like you're a doctor, or then there's like a residency, and it's like, yeah, you're a doctor. I can't keep track of the 9 steps of becoming a doctor and what level of doctor you are right now, okay? I don't have time for it. But she just got shamed. She got shamed for enjoying a thing that happens once every 4 years, and that she has been passionate about her entire life, and yet my family feels a need to make her feel bad that she wasn't working in that moment. She got all her work done, okay? But that's just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from. It's really, it's all being Catholic. It's all being Catholic. Cause that's what being Catholic is. It's guilt for not doing the things you should do, but, you know, being told you can't do stuff all the time, and then so it makes you want to do it more and all that. So many weird sacraments, too. Like, I've been to a baptism in a long time, but, like, dunking a baby in water to get rid of his original sins. Like, yo, what, how about you just don't give him it to start with? The kid did nothing. He did nothing. It was Eve, that horrible slut of a woman. That story's so funny. The Adam and Eve, stupid Eve, had to go eat the apple. I'll tell you, you know who wrote the Bible? A guy who got divorced. That's who wrote the Bible. A divorced man wrote the Bible because all the women in it are horrible. They're horrible. Eve, horrible. Who's a redeeming character in the Bible? Mary Magdalene, best friends with Jesus, still called a slut. Who are some other women of the Bible here? Weren't there like two? I swear to God, you're going to have to like bear with me a little bit because my like, I don't know if you know this, but I've sort of phased the Bible out of my life as a book. Frankly, not a good read. If I had to rate it, I'd say 1 star on Amazon. And you guys know how I feel about reviews. Not a good book, but like, wasn't there like one story about two daughters trying to fuck their dad and then one of them steals his semen? I swear to God that I read this story in the Bible. It's an Old Testament story. I swear that this happened. All the women of the Bible are horrible. Definitely written by a divorced guy. But filled with Catholic guilt. And you know what else? If you ever go to Mass, worst hour of your life. There's not a worse thing you could do on a Sunday. Sunday, such a glorious day. No work. Every Sunday, I swear to God, I wake up and it feels like the scene in Snow White where you open the curtains and the sun comes in and all these animals and birds come running towards you and the squirrels and a butterfly comes and lands on your nose. That's what Sundays feel like. And then you're going to destroy it with Mass? Are you out of your mind? You know what's annoying about Mass? Not even the priest wants to be there. That's how you know it's bad. The priest doesn't want to be there. He makes jokes about it. Like if you go on Saturday at 5 p.m. and you're one of those people who, quote, wants to get it out of the way, the priest will always be like, hey, remember, this counts for Sunday. Not a good joke. But the priest makes jokes about it. Bro, Sunday, priest, is your day. Bring the fucking heat. You know what I mean? I used to want to give homilies. That's what I should have known. I wanted to be a stand-up comedian is when I would sit there during Mass and the priest would have that period where he could say whatever he wants during Mass. And I'd be like, oh, that part's awesome. I would love to do that part. I guess I get to do that now. Minus the priesthood. I could still fuck women and I've molested no kids. So it's kind of being a stand-up comic's like delivering your own little homily. The homilies were always so bad. That's because these priests, I hate to say it, but they haven't lived life. How can you give people life advice if you've never put your penis inside of a woman? Seriously. Seriously. How can you give people life advice if your penis has never been inside a woman? Or penis has never been inside you? Now, I'm assuming these priests are definitely... I know there's a lot of gay priests who have sex with other priests and are gay on the sly. I know that happens. And also, I know there's like a child molesting thing. I know that happens, but But let's assume a priest is actually, but even then, it's all like surreptitious stuff. It's sneaky sex. It's not out in the open. It's not like building a relationship with someone. How can you possibly tell people how to live their life if your dick has never been inside a woman? You can't. You can't. That's the answer. Because you've never felt love. You've never felt actual love. How can you sit there and talk to 500 people and tell them what life is like and how they need to spend their life if you've never experienced arguably the most important aspect of life, love? You haven't experienced that? Shut the fuck up. Sit down. And you know what's so funny about the priesthood? The only reason that they make priests be celibate, which I believe is why they have so many sexual problems, is because you make stuff forbidden, people start being a little bit naughty. Right? So people start being a little bit naughty. And that's what happens. When you forbid stuff, people go crazy. They lose their minds. And the only reason that priests are celibate is because at one point in time, the priest was the center of every town and city. He was the man. And as a result, he was banging everybody. Priests were fucking everybody. And they were having kids. And then, of course, because they're having kids, they were giving their belongings to kids. They were giving them inheritance. They were taking care of the kids. And the church started getting poorer. The church started losing money. Priests would have 30 kids, 40 kids with multiple women. And they were like, oh my God, we're losing our fucking gold stores. Because that's all anybody cares about in this world is money. As you saw from the first 15 minutes of the podcast. That's not the only thing I value, but I want to get some. But, so the church was in like, what do we do? How do we handle this? Oh yeah, all of y'all ain't fucking anymore. That's one of these councils of Nicene or something. One of these councils, that's what they did. They swear to God that they just disbanded sex for the priesthood because they were losing money and they were losing inheritance. And that allowed them to consolidate all of their money. I have a theory on reconciliation. I don't know if I've shared this on a podcast before, but reconciliation, if you don't know and you're not Catholic, reconciliation is a sacrament where you go and you meet with the priest and you tell him all of your sins and he tells you that you need to go to say some prayers to make up for all of those sins. By the way, prayers don't fix relationships, so not a good use of time. You could use that time, instead of saying multiple rosaries, I don't know, telling your mom you love her and that you're sorry for whatever you did. Probably a better use of time, but hey, who am I? I'm just a man who's put his penis inside a woman, so maybe has an idea about how to fix relationships just a pinch, okay? Or not. Who knows if I do. But, so reconciliation, what's bizarre about reconciliation is that reconciliation goes on when you're about 10. For some reason, when you're 10, they decide that at this young age, when you've committed effectively no sins, and you've probably done very little to nothing wrong, that this is the right time for you to sit with a 55-year-old man alone in a room and tell him whatever things you've done in your life that are bad. Gee, that won't give you a guilt complex, will it? That's not unhealthy. And I have a theory on reconciliation. That the reason that they even created reconciliation was that it was a way for the priest to get dirt on everyone in the town and blackmail them into fucking coming on Sunday to hear his boring ass homily. That's what I think reconciliation is. It's a way to build blackmail by the church. I've never heard anyone have that idea before. Nobody's told me that, but that's what it feels like, doesn't it? Why am I telling this dude the bet that I cheated on my wife? Why does he? He's just a guy. Why does he need to know that? Oh, I know. to get me to tithe and give them that 10% of my money that I make every month. How about you do a little work for that 10%, church? I work to make my money. How about you work a little bit? Anyone giving the church a tithe, why? Why? Oh, yeah, and if you don't know what tithing is, it's a thing where you're supposed to give, I think it's 10% of all of your tithe amount. Let's Google it right now, bruh. What percentage is a tithe? 10% should be a percentage of your entire amount of income. 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 We're talking top line revenue. Fuck you. I'm not giving you dick. You don't do anything for me. You didn't make any of that money. You do no work. The church it does nothing for you and asks for 10% of your income. That's insane. You ever walk into a church and you notice how everything looks nice? You know why? They don't pay taxes either. So everything looks twice as good as it should. Why are we letting these things not pay taxes? Why doesn't the church pay taxes? I gotta pay fucking taxes on the $72 I get at the door of this comedy show. And I'm bringing, if not joy, at least interest into these people's lives. Because I will say this, there's nothing greater than a bad show. An idea I think I've shared with you before. But there's nothing greater than a bad show, because you'll never forget a bad show. Bad shows are fantastic for everybody. That's how you create memories. I've said it before. Bad shows are fantastic. You want 10%? And I gotta pay taxes? Get the fuck out of here. That's crazy. Crazy to me. That's why churches look so beautiful in the United States, because they don't have to pay anything. You ever gone by a Mormon church? Incredible architecture. Beautiful. No windows either, because you'll see the weird shit they're doing in there. What a bizarre religion, man. And such generally speaking, collegial, nice people. They're so nice. They're so nice. But also at the same time, they think you're going to hell. What a brutal group of people to hang out with, you know? Brutal people to be around. And they're always kind of trying to convert you. If you ever hung out with a Mormon for any amount of time, you'll have a great time with them. It'll be so much fun. It'll be like sober fun. And I don't drink, but I'm also no fun. So, but it'll be sober fun. Like, Mormons are so, like, they'll play board games. They'll bust out board games on a Friday night. That's what you do when you don't drink and you can't have sex, is you have board games. And you just, and meanwhile, you can, like, cut the sexual tension with a knife. But they'll, and you'll have a great time. You'll play a full game of Monopoly, which, you know, only monsters finish Monopoly. Only monsters and Mormons finish Monopoly, and those two things overlap. And you'll be like, what a great Friday. But then this is what the problem with Mormons is, that yeah, you get to the end of that game, and they go, you had fun, right? And you go, yeah. And you go, we're all a lot of fun. You go, yeah, you guys aren't so bad. And they go, that's great. Hey, do you want to come to the LDS church this Saturday? Maybe think about joining us? And then we'll let you in. They put you in like a special room, and that's where they get you. Right there. They waste so much time, too, with their mission. I'm going to be frank. Fuck that mission. And you know why their mission's even worse. It's even worse than those white high school kids' missions. When white high school kids go to, like, poor areas and build a well poorly. When they go and, like, fuck up some indigenous people's land, and then they just take a bunch of selfies so they feel good about how they spent their spring break. Like, that week made an impact in anyone's life. Yo, your life would be better spent going to Mexico and getting blasted and tossing all your money into that Mexican economy. That would do more for those people than that stupid well you built. This is the angriest I've been. A lot of pause there, bro. I don't know. What do you think? This is truly an unhinged episode. This is truly an insane person episode. I mean, wow. I am being so sincere right now. So sincere. I mean, everything I'm saying. Everything I am saying. I've hit 35 minutes right now. I've meant every word of this. Every single word of it. All of it. You want to hear some silly topics? Whatever. Let's do... I'm, like, annoyed with it now. Like, I'm awful. I'm annoyed with the idea of doing, like, silly things after I've just ranted about how terrible Catholicism is and also my own artistic frustrations with my career, which, you know, that's what people want more of. I will make sure to not make that a habit, by the way. I'll make sure to not make that a habit, and I will in the future be sure to write and fun, funny topics that hopefully you relate to and enjoy and you can... laugh about, but not like something so heavy. I feel like I've been heavy on this podcast. I've been heavy like twice. This podcast, when it had He Who Shall Not Be Named, Mike Kosker Smelly, I mean, that was a big pile of shit of a podcast, frankly. Who wants to hear us opine on Trump when both of us is only 20% informed? Stupid idea. Anxiety now. I'm so worried about Trump. I mean, yeah, I guess, but also, you know, I'm not doing the legwork to have a deep understanding of current events so I can have a meaningful conversation, then let alone be funny on top of that, you know? This is actually true anxiety. I don't know how I accidentally stumbled into the right name for this podcast. How did that happen? 37 minutes of anxiety. Just keep track of the every minute I give you an update. 39 minutes, 15 minutes left. I'm like angry at you that I'm podcasting. I can't stress how happy it makes me when people listen and message me shit. I cannot stress how happy it makes me that people, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do some of the things some people message me. All right. You guys want that? You guys want that lightning round? I can't hear you. I'm in a room alone. Searching these notes for it. You know what I mean? Everything's not right here. I'm a one-man crew. I got nothing. Oh, my God. I was going to talk about the saddest day ever in my comedy career. If you want to hear that, yikes. But, all right, lightning round, baby. Here it comes. Someone wanted to know, why do you think they put celery with hot wings? I mean, this is a very obvious answer to me. And the reason that they have celery with hot wings is because, this is how I used to eat, is I used to eat something that was unhealthy, and then I would chase it with something that was healthy. So I'd eat a cupcake, and then I'd eat a couple carrots. Does that make sense? Now, as I have learned, that does not work. You can't undo the harm of the bad thing by then doing a bunch of good things. Kind of a good metaphor for life. Right? You can't kill a Jew, but then also love animals and just be absolved of the killing Jews, a la Hitler. Not a bad joke. I kind of like that. So celery with hot wings, it's in order to chase the unhealth of the hot wing with celery. Now, here's what's also interesting. Hot wings, probably not that bad for you. It really depends on what they put in the sauce. If it's just salt and vinegar and peppers, then actually that's pretty great. That's really great. But often I think they put a ton of sugar in them, especially if you're at a place like B-Dub-Dubs. Which, by the way, why? Why are you at a chain? There's no fucking reason to go to a fucking chain unless I own the chain. That's how I feel. Okay? Don't go to any chains unless I own it, all right? If I ever write a joke that's as good as Margaritaville is for music, and I just make an entire restaurant chain and blender line based off that joke. This is how comedy saves you, man. People don't... That's how comedy saves you. You see how unhappy I was for the first 30 minutes of this thing, 35 minutes. How unhappy and frustrated. It's because, frankly, I was light on jokes. Now... I'm thinking of Margaritaville, but in joke form. And I think of the idea that I write a joke about dicks, and then I have a whole line of products based off that joke, and now I'm happy. I'm happy again. Don't say comedy doesn't matter. It matters. Right there. Right there. But why do they have celery with hot wings? Obvious. Chase the unhealth with the health. Celery makes you feel healthy. You gotta have some vegetable on that plate. You know? Even if it's just a little bit. Even if you don't like vegetables, you gotta toss a few down the gullet every once in a while. I used to do this tactic in college where they would have the buffet and they'd have like a salad buffet. Now, I don't like spinach. It doesn't taste good to me. But also, it's a very healthy dark green leaf vegetable. So here's what I do. Is I take that spinach and I crumple it into a ball and I get a cup of water. I'd throw that spinach in my mouth. I'd chew up that giant ball of spinach. I'd throw water in and I'd swallow it as fast as I could. And boom, the pain is over of eating that much spinach. It takes 5-10 seconds and you just ate half a cup of spinach. You know, you do that 3 times, boom, health. So yeah, that's why there's celery with hot wings. Also, celery you can dip in the ranch dressing or blue cheese. That's where the hot wings get unhealthy right there. The ranch dressing and that blue cheese, that ain't good for you. But yeah, I think that's why they have the celery with the hot wings. And also like the crispness with the mushiness of a hot wing, right? Not that mushy is such a bad word, but like that chicken, unless it's fried, is a little chewy. Like a healthy is, it's mushy. It really, chicken is mushy. What am I talking about? All right, I answered the question. Would I rather be buried or cremated? It's an interesting question because on one hand, I want to be selfish and take up land forever and not let anyone have that spot of land. Like, I don't respect Indian burial areas because I think they're dead. Does it fucking matter, you know? And I think that for all cemeteries. In New York, if you drive around Queens, there's just cemeteries. And you're like, what a waste of space. That's why my real estate's so high, because these fucking dead people have real estate. Can't I live in that space while I'm living? Why do we let people get buried? Unless we're just going to throw them in the ground and let them rot. Seriously. And the wood box, what's the point? I think it's closure. It's like, so you close the top and you're like, it's like when you finish a book. You got a book and you just go, it's done. That's what you do with the coffin. You slam it shut and it's done. So a selfish part of me wants to be buried. But then there's also the hopeful part of me, the part that cares about the world and knows that that isn't the right route so long as we keep having cemeteries, which just take up land for no reason other than have a stone that says Jordan is lying down here. And that's why I think I should be, I would rather, ultimately, I'd be cremated. Cremated. Plus, I'm going to make my ex-wife carry my dead ashes around with her everywhere she goes. I don't know, I'd rather be cremated. It's the burial, you know, it's selfish. It's pointless. It takes up land and real estate. Unless, here's what, I mentioned it, but I think you should just throw people in the ground and let them rot. That's what I truly think. Throw them in the ground, let them rot. Ty Fuel. See here. One guy messaged me, Charles Darwin ate every meat of the animals that he observed. Not really a question, just thought I'd share that with you. Charles Darwin ate everything. Isn't that wild? Crazy fact. That he every... I mean, I guess... that I think if I was back then, I'd do it too. You'd see the animal, you'd be like, I wonder what it tastes like. And that's why when people talk about, like, is there aliens out there and should we connect with them? Resoundingly, no. We absolutely, unequivocally should not connect with aliens. Because if we connect with aliens, there's only a two results. They either eat us or fuck us. What do you think we do to all the animals? I think eat, fight, or fuck. Those are the options. What do you think? We all fuck animals. I gotta be honest. I didn't think that went through till it came out. But yeah. Yeah. Charles Darwin ate every animal. Of course. That's what you do when you see other animals. You go, I wonder what that animal tastes like. Or what it would feel like if I was inside it. I thank God every day. This almost makes me believe in God again. That I just have normal sexual proclivities. Thank you, God, for making me enjoy the missionary position. Thank you so much. There's not a greater gift he could bestow upon you than to make you enjoy doggy style. But not with a dog, with a woman, or man. Whatever floats your boat in that regard. But thank God I'm not attracted to anything that isn't basic. What a relief. Let's close it out, baby. Let's talk about this Papa John guy. Now, I am, in true fashion, light on the details of Papa John. I read what I would say is half an article. And in this day and age, I think half an article is plenty of information to allow me to then spout off my opinion. So with that disclaimer, let's launch right into it. Papa John, he got kicked off the board of directors. Hey! Why can't I be the CEO and say the N-word of my own company? I thought that was why I got to this psychotic position of power. So I could say the N-word in my boardroom without fear of repercussion. That's why you're CEO. That's why. I don't even know. How do they know he said the N-word? So, how did he say it? I know it was probably in reference to some kneeling football players. Oh, wow. Look at this. Papa John's founder said it was a mistake to resign after he used the N-word. He doesn't seem very sorry for what he did. He used it during a conference call in part about racial sensitivity. Oh my God. Yo, that is hilarious. That is so funny. That is like sexually harassing a woman during the HR meeting. Oh, man. Oh, I guess it. I then said something in the order of Colonel Sanders used the word N, that I would never use that word, and Papa John's doesn't use that word. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? In what context would that ever even come up on your conference call? This is why you write the script. You have someone read it, and then you have someone else read it, and then you stick to the script and follow it on the conference call, because it keeps you from saying something you will regret. Now, unfortunately, I get the irony of this in that I am doing a podcast in which I just say whatever the fuck I want, and I have no script. I really have no script. I have none. So, yeah. I mean, that Papa John's dude, I read a few things about him. He sounds like a real bag of shit. There's a bunch of sexual harassment claims against him and sexual assault settlements and stuff. Sounds like a real bag of shit. But one thing he did do that I thoroughly enjoyed is that one of his executives, they said he would be petty. Yeah, I mean, of course you'd be petty. By the way, I'm joking about that N-word part. That's not why you become CEO. You become CEO so you can live in gated neighborhoods away from any N-words. Come on, folks. I mean, boy. Oh, man, just being unhirable, baby. That's a funny joke. That's a funny, horrible joke, huh? No, you become CEO so you can be rich. That's why. Boring. What was I even talking about with him? Oh, yeah. So he was really petty, it sounded like, in some of his interactions, how he treated executives. One executive crossed him, and he did something he didn't like. So Papa John then moved his parking spot to the furthest corner of the parking lot and refused to talk to him. Bruh. If we were writing smear pieces on this bag of shit, by the way, I know I said smear and that has connotations that it's unfair. These are justified smear things, it sounds like. That behavior would make me laugh. That's kind of Michael Jordan-esque behavior. That level of spite, that stuff's great. I love, that's so funny. Again, you get two positions of power so you can abuse your position of power, right? You get really rich so you can abuse poor people. Ugh. God, it's so basic. Does nobody understand this concept? I know, this is an argument against capitalism, but it's what we live in. So buy in, bitch. Jesus, I am loopy. You want to see a man unravel? This is the most unraveled hour I've ever done on this podcast. And here's what else I have to say. Y'all, thank you so much for listening. I swear to God, I'm having so much fun doing this. It may not sound like it, but this is a bright part of my week. I just had a fantastic time recording this thing. I feel a lot better now. I feel anxiety now. It's over. I don't feel any more anxiety. I feel like I let out and exercised a lot of my demons. Now, I won't personally complain like that about my career every single time I listen to an episode. I did it this time, but hey, whatever. I let it out. No comedians listen to this shit anyway, or only 5 of you. I only want real people listening to it. If you're a comedian, share it or don't fucking listen. I take that back. I want everyone to listen to it. What am I talking about? I want every person to listen to this thing. I think this should be an automatic download in every single iPhone and Android, okay? But you know what? If you guys could do me a favor, keep sharing it. Some people shared it, privately texted it to some friends and be like, hey, you would probably enjoy this insane person fall apart, I think. You'll at least laugh at his misery, okay? Send it to some people, you know? I don't want to be playing this thing for 27 listeners every week. I'm at a big network. I'm assuming that a lot of people listening, I hope they are. But keep helping me grow, all right? Why would you keep a good thing to yourself? If you enjoy this, tell some fucking people, all right? Give me some 5-star reviews, all right? Jesus fucking Christ. Don't ever say I didn't ask for something, all right? Thank you so much for listening. This has been Anxiety Now. Tweet at me at Jordan Rabled. Go to JordanRabled.com or check me out on Facebook. I got a bunch of shows coming up on the East Coast. I'll be touring every weekend until the day I die or I get crushed by a semi. Thank you. Good night.